population of cells that, though seeded from her own body, had a life of their own, held such dangers. But Lannery could not help playing to her strengths. Ignoring them would be like trying to deny the Force itself, and she had already seen the results of that. Death, she had believed. But now in Dale may be something worse. A terrible kind of madness. Perhaps at some point during this mission, she might find cause to return to her studies. Greenwood Station, Lannery said. The Stargazers were communicating with someone there. That's not good.
It's not?
Tree asked. Lannery looked at the partial communications Ironholgs had managed to extract from the damaged memory cell. All of them had been encoded, and even when deciphered by the droid, they had used mundane language that was beyond any codebreaker. But the origin and destination of each signal had been scrambled with military-level ciphers. Greenwood Station is one of the worst places on one of the most dangerous planets in the system, Lannery said. If there's a general dislike for the Jedi on Nox, they hate us there. It's surrounded by three destroyed domes, bombed by the Jedi during the Despot War. I was only young then, 13. But my parents went to war, and my father served some of his time on Nox. A terrible place, he told me. Acid rain, corrosive gas storms. We warned the domes the bombings were going to happen. They were supplying Hadea with weapons, however much non-military pressure we exerted. But thousands still died. Many thousands. No one has ever really known how many.
I'm older than you, Tree said. I seem to recall Greenwood Station being bombed as well.
But not destroyed. The original dome was breached but quickly repaired. It's a damaged place, and everything around it is ruin.
But it's still where they make the most advanced military tech outside Tython, Tree said.
It seemed he'd known everything about Greenwood Station, but had feigned ignorance and let her say it anyway. Another one of his games. And how would you know that?
I've had cause to use them from time to time.
You've been there? Lannery asked. She had no interest in Tree's business or his reason for using high-end tech. Not then.
Of course not. I told you, I hate space travel.
But you'll be known there? Tree raised an eyebrow, shrugged.
Not by anyone who'd help us.
Why not?
You're Jedi.
Great, Lannery said. It was a perfect place for the Stargazers and Dale to flee when they knew she was on their trail. And yet, this was not about escape. Some of the older communications her droid had plucked from the damaged memory cell proved that. They were going to Greenwood Station for one reason, and that could only be the construction of the Gree device. How complete their plans were, Lannery could not tell. The old Osamael Orr diary was far from comprehensive, and there was no way of knowing whether he had ever found those Gree plans. If he had, perhaps they existed in another diary. One that Kara had been too sensible to leave even in her hidden room. And even if the Stargazers did have the plans in some form, whether they could build the device effectively and make it actually work was something no one could know. Her mission remained one of unknowns and ambiguities. One thing she was certain of, this had already gone further than she could have hoped. The dangers were too great, the chances of Dale's success too dreadful to comprehend. The chase had to end on Nox, and there she would face her brother. I'll plot a course, Lannery said. Then we'll find you somewhere to sleep. Tree feigned surprise and held his hands out, indicating the narrow but comfortable cot. Don't even think about it, Lannery said. She pointed at the door she'd shown him before.
With the laser pods? And the food stores? There might be space rats in there.
I keep a clean ship, Lannery said. And I'm sure you've slept in worse.
Well...
His three Leku stretched in amusement. Lannery tried not to smile. She sensed that he wanted to make this as painless as she did. Come on, she said. Let's just get by. I'll fly us there as quickly as I can.
I'm not sure I want to get there that quickly,
Tree said, and his tired smile might have been the first genuine one she'd seen. We'll be fine. I'll look after you.
And who's looking after you?
The Force will be my guide, Lannery thought. She turned her back on Tree and went up into the cockpit again to chart the fastest, safest course to Greenwood Station on Nox. All the while, she was thinking of Dale, and that, as a journeyer, she had never truly understood how dangerous he might be. Not until close to the end. Even though Master Kinnaid is adept at healing, Lannery's arm and hand still hurt.
"It will for some time," Kinnaid told her. "I can fix the damage, but the scarring will remain, and the memory of pain is stronger than you think."
The memory of pain means that she can barely sit still, even in Temple Master Law Mi's chambers. Dale is also there. His own wounds are less serious than hers, bruises and lacerations from impacting the ground, but Master Kinnaid paid them just as much attention.
"You are not here to be punished," Temple Master Law Mi says to Dale.
Even though the chambers are large and impressive, Master Law Mi sits in a simple wooden chair, his sword propped beside him. Lannery has heard many tales of this man, and this sword.
"You are here so that I can hear what happened at the top of Stavkesh. I've learned through my long life that stories are fluid, and that the truth is often found in the sum of the parts. So I'll have each of you tell me your own version of events."
"It's very simple," Dale says.
He is sitting before Law Mi, alongside Lannery, and on his other side sits their instructor.
"Master Kinnaid took away all my senses and expected me to shoot straight."
"I haven't yet asked you to speak," Law Mi says. His voice is not stern, but it carries the authority of age and experience.
"Master Kinnaid, if you will begin?"
She stands and bows her head.
"Master, I was training a group of students with the Darrow Sphere."
She goes on to relate events exactly as they happened, expressing no opinions, simply relaying the facts. Lannery cannot perceive any elaboration to her story. It is exact and correct in every detail. Kinnaid finishes and bows again.
"And now you, Lannery Brock,"
Law Mi says. "It's as Master Kinnaid described. I did my best to feel the force and fight the sphere, but I admit to becoming overconfident. The others did well, most